Blog Talk Radio.
UGS Radio is not intended for anyone under the age of 18 years old. We reserve the right to say whatever the fuck we want to say because we believe in free speech. And if you do not believe in free speech...
Get the fuck out of here, you stupid cocksucker!
For rap music's biggest online archive of legends and pioneer interviews as well as underground music from around the globe, visit us now at UGSforLife.com.
Yeah! President Beta! Murder Master Music! Welcome to the Murder Master Music Show. This right here is where the real rap at. A fuck pilot. We doing what we love just to hear it play back. This is where the real is at.
The Young Castro from the Outlaw.
This your boy Al Capone.
What's that? And it's Bootleg the Rock Capone from the Dayton family.
Baby, this your boy Al Capone.
What up, y'all?
This is E-Shop.
Yo, 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 what's up? This your boy C-Murder, and I'm chilling with my boy Scott Beta, and you're listening to the Murder Master Music Show. It's the hottest thing out right now, you heard me? Keep it true.
Obviously, but the two biggest influences to this day were DJ Ready Red and DJ Mr. Mix. Mix came from California, Red came from the East Coast. Mix obviously went to Miami and, hooked up with the Two Live Crew, and DJ Ready Red went down to Houston and hooked up with the Ghetto Boys, and the rest is history. But DJ Ready Red, as far as music goes, his influences obviously... they lie in the fact that he was the first motherfucker to ever sample the movie Scarface. You know, now you got people doing it left and right. I mean, they just completely played it out. But he did this almost 30 years ago. I mean, you're talking 25, 26, 27 years ago he sampled the movie Scarface. And put Tony Montana on wax for the first time, and now everybody's done it. But another thing he contributed to, which is blown up in the rap game over the years, is the fact that the Ghetto Boys were the first people to put out pretty much a, whatever you want to call it, horrorcore or devil shit, whatever the fuck you want to call it. They were the first to put out something that blended, horror movies with rap. And that was the song Assassins that came out 87, 88, the album Making Trouble. Everybody remembers the line, kill that bitch like Freddy. The shit that he contributed to rap is just unbelievable. But the crazy thing is, dude does not get his dues. He does not get his props. And that's very disturbing to me, because you got so many people literally eating off of the shit this man pretty much laid the foundation for. You got so many people, jocking the style or taking samples or doing this, this, and that this dude created and others like him created, they ain't paying homage to him. They ain't going back and recognizing the fact of what he did, let alone, hey, let me get some scratches from you on my record. Let me get you to produce a track. Let me get you to do this. Let me get you to do that. All you motherfuckers in the mainstream that sample the shit that this man has done, you need to pay homage. That's all I'm going to say. You know what I'm saying? That's all I'm going to say. But you heard some of the sounds of DJ Ready Red. I'm going to bring the brother on right now. Here he is. It's the musical enforcer, DJ Ready Red, man. Welcome back to the Murder Master Music Show, brother.
How you doing? Always a pleasure to be here, man. I'm honored by your words, brother, and humbled. Thank you.
Man, I appreciate it. I appreciate you coming here again because I want to keep beating it into their ears, you know what I'm saying, of what you and what Mr. Mix and others like you have contributed to this game, because you guys are what I like to call the unsung heroes of the South. People don't even realize how much you guys contributed, but it's starting to change now. People are starting to open up their eyes. I mean, they're doing shows and stuff about you, which we're going to talk about. How does it make you feel to know that things are finally starting to come around and you're finally starting to get recognized?
I feel a lot better, man. That was a weight that sometimes can really put a lot of baggage on you sometimes, you know. But when the truth is real, it's always going to come out no matter how many years, no matter how many years later. I'm happy that all the ones who put it down with me are starting to also get their shine also. So once they try to hide this, and then the fans and the people who really know what was going on start talking about it among themselves, then that truth has to come out. They say what's done in the dark will soon come to light. So anything that you didn't get credit for, eventually you probably will. You know, so I'm just glad to still be here and still be prevalent and just to still be doing my thing. So I'm very gracious about that.
Yeah.
So I'm, you know,
most
and it's brothers like you that bring it forth, you know.
Well, it's a huge honor to do so because, you know, guys like me grew up off of your music. And, you know, we recognize, you know, we heard Bushwick and Willie and Scarface on the record, but we also paid attention to who was making the music, who was behind the scenes putting things together and adding bits and pieces that made that music so powerful and what it was. I mean, obviously it was a collaborative effort, but at the end of the day, would the Ghetto Boys have sounded like they sounded in the early stages without DJ Ready Red? I don't think so.
You know, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, if you look at it, the DJ has always been the backbone of hip-hop.
Yeah.
We were the first to do this thing. We were the first to put it together. We were the manager. We were the ones that put it all together. It was a match between the DJ and then later the MCs came. So two of the original four elements was always the most popular, was DJing and MCing.
Yeah.
And when that's not together, it's out of whack. There's no marriage anymore, you know what I mean? So when I'm DJing, I'm cutting beats, but I'd rather have an MC on the mic rocking with me than just be doing my thing, you know? So
yeah.
I feel kind of naked sometimes. You know, it's like something's missing. I'm still going to get down, but I'd rather have an MC going over the beats with me when I'm doing my thing that I can concentrate on getting his music and rocking the crowd and doing all that. But yeah, man, in that area, in that time frame of music, some of the best music came out because there were DJs involved with the production and what was going on and what was happening.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, the Ghetto Boys, it had already, you know, put out a record. I know we talked about this the last time you were on the show, Car Freaks, I believe. That sound was just not what that group needed. And when you came to Houston, you kind of evolved the Ghetto Boys into what it eventually became.
Well, you know, when you got R&B cats doing rap music from that era,
yeah.
I went through the same thing. I grew up around R&B artists, Instant Funk. One of my mentors was Raymond Earl, bass player for Instant Funk. I got my mind made up, Come On, You Can Get It fame. Another guy, Jasper Bradley, they used to make R&B tracks and want us to rap on them. I'd be like, yo, man, but that's not, That's not hip hop tracks. You know what I mean? So one of my man, Jasper, he got kind of frustrated at me. He started digging in his closet, and he gave me my first drum machine, which was a Roland TR-606. He said, you know what? Go home, learn how to work this, and then come back. And that's the best thing that he ever could have gave me, man, because he put me on my path, you know? And I took that. I was trying to duplicate a beat, James Brown, Mind Power. And I liked the shuffle that my man had on there. And it was too stiff for what my man was playing. So I went home and I figured it out. Came back about a week later. I said, yo, that's the shuffle that my man was playing. That's Clive Stubblefield, who was James Brown's drummer at the time, playing on that Mind Power. So I had it, and then I've been hooked ever since, man.
Yeah.
So the beats is the backbone, you know, and that's what I was doing. That's what I do.
And when you got, you know what I'm saying, when you got there, you guys obviously had to go through a few different phases. You had to get the, everything in order as far as, you know, with the members and everything. There was a lot of people that came in and went out of the group.
Yeah.
You guys finally got that formula down pat. You put out Grip It.
Yeah, that was something that Johnny C and myself, Johnny C, who I called down after the original crew of K9, Jukebox, and Raheem broke up. And it was just me and Jukebox. And we was looking, and I couldn't find nobody fit the bill. So I said, Little J, he was the owner of Rap-A-Lot Records. I said, you know what? My MC from back home, man, would be perfect for this. You know? He was a powerful MC. He was a battle rapper. It's what I call Melly Mel Jr. And I called Johnny C, and Johnny C came down. The Making Trouble album was pretty much written by Little James, NC Trahan, and a couple other people who was in the circle. And the only thing I did was put music, and then we kind of just went over the words that they had. These were based on their life's events, and I just put the music to it. And Johnny C wrote the Assassins. I think I did Why We Live This Way. And then when I met Bill, I was trying to come up with a concept, and he came over one night, and I was watching Scarface, and he sat down on my start and stop pedal that I had on the 808. And when he sat down, and right where Tony Montana says, "All I Have in This World," the beat came in, and I was like, whoa, you hear that? He says, "What are you talking about, Red? I don't hear anything." So I wound the VCR, and I tried to duplicate it. I said, "Bill, I got to get to work right now. I can't be chilling, you know." But he stayed there. He says, "Damn, you came up with that." And that's how the Scarface and everything else got intertwined. And that's when I realized, I said, you know what? I can use this for the Ghetto Boys backdrop.
Yeah.
That's how that movie got implemented into that. Because I was looking for something, because I was doing straight hip-hop music. Being from Trenton, all the years that I've been doing it, it was just straight Bronx-style hip-hop, but with a Trenton twist and a Philly twist. Being in Trenton, you between New York and Philly, so it was just a combination of what we did in Jersey. And I was looking for something that I could bring to the table that would make the Ghetto Boys unique, because first of all, it's in Houston, Texas.
Yeah.
And we like way out the ballpark. So I said, I got to find something that I could put in here that would make this stand out. But at the same time, whether you on the West Coast, the East Coast, down South, Midwest, whatever, and the common denominator, I believe, probably was the Scarface thing, because everybody loves that movie, you know?
Yeah. And it took off. It completely took off. To this day, people are sampling that movie left and right. They even made a documentary about it that came with one of the DVDs. Were you featured in that documentary?
The 25th anniversary. They was talking about the impact of Scarface on hip-hop. No, but my MC, my former MC, Brad Jordan, a.k.a. Scarface, was on here. And I just knew. I said, you know what? I said, my man Scarface, get ready to tell him who was the first to put that down. But you know what? Them cats don't like talking about me for some reason. I love talking about them, but for some reason, it's always Will, Bill, and Face. Now they do it because there's been pressure from the fans and from the media. Why y'all doing DJ Ready Red like that? I have nothing but love. And for the record, I left because of financial misdealings with the record. It was nothing against the Ghetto Boys. But for some reason, either they're greedy or they don't want me to get down with them no more.
Yeah, because I noticed that they're on tour. They're doing like a big tour across the United States. And I've had people tell me that, you know, it would be dope if Red would be behind the wheels while they're performing.
Yeah, well, I'm going to tell you what. You know what? I'm going to keep it real.
Yeah.
The real deal is this. I was an artist on Rap-A-Lot Records. I was also a producer.
Mm-hmm.
So in the beginning, we all got paid evenly. It was split four ways. Now, when I left, I was offered to come back and do shows for like $100, $200. You know what I mean? I'm like, y'all must be crazy. I started this thing, and y'all trying to do me like that? I never would do y'all like that. It's like the Ghetto Boys could go through their problems. They could go to jail. They could do this, could do that, and do no wrong. I left because I got tired of the BS that was going on. And then they just want to pay me a small fee. When we started clocking the bigger though, I'm like, I'm not doing it.
No.
I had to,
they wanted
to
pay one of the most important elements, not to cut you off. They wanted to give, what you're saying is they want to give one of the most important elements of that whole structure, you know what I'm saying, peanuts compared to what everybody else was getting, pretty much.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We were equal members. You know what I'm saying? We were equal members, so we should have been paid equally. That should have always been there. You know what I'm saying? And I stood my ground up on that one, man. You know, I have no regrets years later, because I still see that nothing's been accomplished. Little J still got all the money. You know what I'm saying? If you know the stories, everybody done been through something dealing with this record company and still don't have anything, you know? I'm glad I got out some 26 years ago, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you, when you did get out, you were working on a We Can't Be Stopped album.
Can't Stop the album, but I didn't get any credit for that because I kind of told Jay, go F himself, you know what I mean? And I kind of became the bad guy. I became the confused one that he don't know what he's talking about or any of this and what's happening, and you know what I mean? So we stood together for a minute, but then when it turned gangster, I was standing by myself.
Yeah, and that's a shame. That's a shame. All these years later. Well, I'm happy to be one of the few that's able to let you tell your story, because we've never got to hear that before. You know, and I've interviewed the Ghetto Boys, and I've asked them about Red. You know, what's Red doing? It's before I knew you. And, he quit rapping or whatever. He's doing his own thing over here or over there. But I never got to hear your story, so I really appreciate you for telling your story. Right here.
Oh, yeah,
on the
no
show,
problem,
man.
I'm not bitter. I have no animosity or anything. It does make me angry sometimes that you try to change the history of what was. You know what I mean? It wasn't just Will. It wasn't just Face. It wasn't just Bill. It was all of us. And even before them, it was Johnny C and Jukebox. We went on the Fatboy Wipeout tour. We also did the Jack the Rappers. We had to do things to make that even work. To even get them a position to even come in, for they would be a Willie D, for they would be a Scarface. You know what I'm saying? For they would be a Bill. Bill was our dancer at the time. But when we did the Fat Boys Wipeout tour, it was Fat Boys, Salt and Pepper, Dana Dane, the Ghetto Boys, Ice-T, and Hammer, you know? And little known fact, Harry-O, the same Harry-O, Michael Harris, who gave the money for Death Row, was down with us and put us on that tour.
Wow.
Yep.
And this was what, 87?
This is 87, yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow. 87.
The first show we did was in Phoenix. And after the show, guys came up and said, yo, man, I'm loving that new sound of yours, man. You know what I'm saying? It was good. And we had a report with the fan. We was nobodies on this show, man. But the pool that people had in the business, you know what I'm saying, got us down. And we was learning as we went on. You know what I'm saying? Ice-T extended a hand out to us, Dana Dane, the Fat Boys. People used to tease me and say I look like Marky D. You know what I'm saying? So I was kind of big, too. So, you know, we were like twin brothers and stuff like that, man. And Buff, Kurowski, and all that, man. Just having fun, you know what I'm saying? And Salt, she's like a sister to me. Her birthday is on the same day. She did a PSA for my sister. I had a little sister one time. Was starting mischief around the house. I had a sent her a personal video note to get her back on track, and she did, you know?
Oh, man, that's history. I mean, that's definitely huge. So you guys were building this from the ground up. Obviously, Jay was the one financing things in the background or whatever. But you got to a point to where you guys got so big that's when you said the money came into play. At what point was that? Was that during the Deaf American recording or?
Well, from what I hear, man, even Making Trouble was a success, man.
Mm-hmm.
Even the Making Trouble, man, as an independent, man, you break in. See, but it was never about the money with me, but when I'm the last to eat or I got to be on stage worrying about my light skin cut off now, something ain't right. I'm the most loyal cat that you can never be down with. You know what I'm saying? I'm down with you. When you make a man respectable and you put money in his pockets and you give him his vision and his dream of his record company and he's trying to give you your dream and your vision of where you want to be, you should break bread with that individual, you know?
Yeah.
And when you be like, you know what I'm saying? Okay, well, this man is helping me out. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. You know what I'm saying? It becomes the OB family. And you need to sign this, but it always would be the last page of a contract, not what we were signing, but we get in the power of attorney, and they just give us what they want to give us. You know, it was all, as Little Jay put it, it was crumbs. We got crumbs. We got enough to shut us up and be happy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then when you really see the big picture of what's going on, then you'd be like, you know what? I think this ain't right. So I went and got me a lawyer and a certified accountant, man. And you know, I had to pull the books. They got pissed off at me for that. I wasn't family no more. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I never heard an album that we did. I didn't make a trouble on a 4-track. You know what I'm saying? They dumped it down to a 24-track. But I didn't hear no $100,000 production on that, or studio costs, or all that other type of stuff, man, right there. You know what I mean? I didn't hear nothing on Gripping On Another Level. Didn't hear none of that. And then you want to charge us a piece? When I went in there and I laid the record down, whole album might take 6-7 hours to lay it down with the engineer. I would get, you know, how much I was, you know, had to pay and all that. So if it was $31,000 total for all of us to lay an album down, we got charged $31,000 a piece. You know what I'm saying? So the treachery on that right there was ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? See, everybody be mad, but nobody would take a stand. Now, I don't care how much money you got. I don't care where you at. I you know what? I've never had respect to persons, whether you be high, whether you be low. You're still the same in my eyes. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to respect this one more because you got money. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'd be like, yo, man, what's going on? What's happening? So I was always the one who was vocal with everything.
And so, how would the rest of the members of the group, how would, you know, Bushwick, Will, and Scarface, how would they respond when they would see you be the one questioning? Would any of them get your back at any point in time? Or?
They would talk about it, but like I say, when the heavy hitters were coming there, the gangsters were coming there, all of a sudden everybody quiet. And I got witnesses on that. I don't know if they would do that. But you know what? I never got messed with after the fact because those that ran with my man knew what I did. When I came to Houston, Texas, from Trenton, New Jersey, I was serious. I made rap a lot of respectable label. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I never tried to take my man. I never tried to do nothing to my man. It's a let me live my dream if I can help my family, my mother, my brothers, my sister, my grandparents, my cousins, and everybody else. You know what I'm saying? And I kept it real. The gangster said, you know, Red, you kept it real. We ain't going to mess with you. You know what I'm saying? But a lot of other people who left rap a lot, they got a home invasion. They got pistol whipped, got the equipment, got took back. But I was going to the range. From all that touring I was doing, I was learning to shoot, take care of myself, and defend myself. You know what I'm saying? So if you was going to run up on me, definitely you was going to get double tapped really good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm a peaceful person. But when you're in Texas, you do as Texans do. You feel me?
Yeah, you got to defend yourself by any means. Yeah. So it sounds like there was a lot of strong arming going on over there.
It definitely was a lot of strong arming going on. But, you know, it comes to the point where, you know what, this ain't what I signed up for. I'm a DJ before anything, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I ain't no gangster, but I ain't no punk either. You feel me?
Yeah.
I'm an artist. And doing all this, now you tapping into signs that I really don't want to go into, you know what I'm saying? Because I can flip out on you if I need to. I'm a really nice guy, right? I'd be like, you know what? They're taking me out of my character. And I think it's time to depart. I knew that album, We Can't Be Stopped, was going to be great. You know what I'm saying? It was going to be a good album. I didn't get no credit on there, but yet I'm the first one you hear in the Rebel Rap family. I also did We Can't Be Stopped. Also did the Bitch Punk Game. And did a lot of other stuff with
you did the title track.
Yeah, but Ready Red ain't on that album. Let me see them try to duplicate it. If you listen to the next albums, how sloppy was the All I Have in This World when they was trying to do it? It was sloppy, man. It was so sloppy. I'd be like, you know what? They messing up my stuff, man.
And not to cut you off, Red, but I mean, you should have at least gotten a plaque for that shit. You went platinum.
You know what? I got plaques. You know what? They were sitting in my grandfather's house. You know what? And I used to want to put it back to him because you know why? When he was getting sick, I couldn't take care of him. I had to go out there and work.
Yeah.
Okay, I got gold plaques. I got platinum plaques. Where's the money? Where's the money for the hard work and effort? You know what I mean?
Sure.
Now, as I'm older, 48 years old, I'm going to eat first before anybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not going to make a man who's rich richer, and I'm not going to make him get rich off the sweat of my blood, man. It's not going to happen. You know what I'm saying? I've become a very good businessman, but you know what? I'm still down to help out the average person, man. I don't never want to see nobody go through the things that I went through in this game. Right?
No.
And all because I love hip-hop. You know what I'm saying? I refuse to. I tell cats, I say, yo, man, you know about the business? No, we won't get you there a little late. I'd be like, you better learn your business, man. That way, you ain't got to work like I got to work now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You should be able to take care of yourself. You know what I'm saying? You should be able to get your royalties.
Yeah, you definitely should be able to. You know, I before you came on, I was talking about the stuff that you contributed. You know, you said Johnny C wrote the Assassins, which was the first what they would call horrorcore song.
Yeah. Now let's check out Assassins.
Yeah. Was that his idea or your idea? Whose idea was that?
That was strictly Johnny C's. Johnny C went into a closet and came back out in about 40 minutes. Said, "Come on, Red, I got something."
It was that brutal.
Now, okay, now, the Insane Clown Posse just did a cover of Assassins a while back, right? Me and Johnny C just found out about it maybe about 3 or 4 months ago. Where's the royalties for that? Where's the publishing check for that?
Insane Clown Posse did that song. Man, I don't even listen to their music, but I remember, it had to have been about 6-7 years ago.
What I'm saying? So as you can see, hey, you know what I mean?
You were the guy that said, "Kill that bitch like Freddy." Was that you?
That was Johnny C said that. All the idea was the music.
You just put the music behind it. Okay. I thought he sampled
the dance there, right there. That's actually from the hip hop national anthem, Apache.
And that's the first, I mean, this genre of music, this, you know, some people call it horrorcore. There's other different names for it. But so many, I mean, literally thousands of people do this, and they don't even know where it came from. You know, Nip is one of the guys that, you know,
Nip, Gangsta Nip, the South Park Psycho. Okay, That's his thing, man. I used to be scared listening to some poor man rap because he was serious. He was serious with his. And Johnny C wrote that, man, as like going to the movies. You know what it is? We assume roles of Al Pacino, Robert De Niro. You know what I'm saying?
It's entertainment.
It's entertainment.
Yeah.
You know?
No different than seeing, like you said in the rap, no different than
mind frame. You know, and that's based on some true stories, man. There was a woman in New Jersey who was HIV positive, and she was tricking, and she would drug her Johns, and in the mirror, she would write, "Welcome to the world that there is no cure for." You know what I'm saying? Yeah. This was going around and stuff. There was students who was killing their teachers because they got bad grades, you know, and, you know, stuff like that. And Johnny C just put it together. We would get the headlines and put it more in the first-person story. You know, there was always a consequence. When gangster rap was first coming out, it did teach you. It might have been thinly veiled, but there was a consequence. If you lead this lifestyle, this is what could happen, you know?
Yeah. There's always an underlying message to everything. Yeah, definitely, you know. But let's go to when you started working on We Can't Be Stopped. Now, I remember when you were on the show last time, you said the day you left the group was the same day that Bushwick Bill shot out his eye.
Yep. About a couple hours later, I was with my fiance, and she picked up the phone. It was about 2:33 in the morning. And one of our friends, Pee-wee, he said, "Red, man, Chuck has shot himself in the eye." I said, "What?" So we rush up to Ben Todd, and Bill has to be restrained. His eye looks like a pool ball. You ever see the cue ball? His eye looks like that, man. And he's like, "Red, untie me, man, so I can move my eye out and that's, you know." And I'm talking to his sister, Rosie, and she's telling me that the bullet is lodged in his speech and understanding. You know, so I go outside and I smoke a Newport. I come back. Next thing I know, he's getting wheeled up the corridor, and they taking pictures. And I'm like, "What's going on, man? He don't know what's going on." You know what I'm saying? They taking pictures, and I'm looking at this shit, and I'm like, "Whoa, this is crazy, man."
They're taking the pictures for the album cover.
Yeah, they taking the picture for an album cover. You know what I'm saying? Now, let's really look at that. Okay, it sold 1 million copies. But my brother, my man, who I done broke bread with his family, and his mother, my father said, "You was Bill's friend, and in Jamaican culture, I'm responsible for that, man. If I done broke bread with you, bro, me and you coming home together, I don't want to call your mother and tell you something, you know, Bill ain't here no more." You know what I mean? We both ain't here no more. You feel me?
Yeah.
So, you know, so I'm like, "Look at this, man. Look at this." And eventually, man, I heard he sued them and got some money for that, man. But, and everybody thought it was makeup, man. But, you know, that was just crazy. I mean, that's just like one of them things where you'd be like, "Wow, man, what if a gun went off and I got shot in my head? What they going to do? They going to leave me there to bleed?" You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just wild, man.
You saw an opportunity for you know what I'm saying, a picture.
Yeah.
So you can see, I mean, you can see the look on Scarface and Willie D. They both look miserable.
There's a saying in Fifth Ward or in Houston, Texas, "Let your nuts hang, man. Say no."
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I ain't see it that night.
Man,
yep.
Man,
so,
that's
crazy. That's how that go, man. And, you know, even though this is some years old, man, you know, I've never really shared all the stories and everything like that, because sometimes what you do as a crew is what we did together. There's a special bond, you know what I mean, as that.
Yeah.
And I do hold, because anything else would be snitching, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But on the real stuff, hey, man, it's really true. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, real shit is real shit.
Right.
You know, I feel you on that all the time. I mean, even within, you know, UGS, we've had people do some things that I felt were disrespectful to our group. I had to call people out on it. You know what I mean? It wasn't, like you said, it wasn't snitching. It was just telling what really went down.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? As far as, you know what I'm saying, from one man to another, you know, there's certain things, there's a code, certain things you don't do, and disrespect is one of those codes. So I feel you, man. I feel you.
That's it.
Yeah, man, I would have declined myself. I would have not done that album cover, man. I would have been more concerned about my dude could be dead.
Exactly. But I didn't see none of that, man. I didn't see none of that. You know, that's the reason I'm behind the camera, man, cussing everybody out. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm not going to be on something like that, you know?
Did they ask you to be in the picture?
No, because I wasn't going to be in the picture. I said, look, you can't see this man. He's damn near on his deathbed, man. You see his eye hanging out of his head, man? Are y'all crazy? That's crazy, man. But you know, man, this right here is hard, man. That's hard. No, that ain't hard. That's stupidity. That's what that is, man. That's
I respect
stupidity.
You for sticking up for your friend like that, man. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, man, that's what you are, man. You know what I'm saying? When you in my circle, man, you a friend. You know what I'm saying? What Pac say, you ain't never had a friend like me, Jay. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna keep it real with you. You know what I'm saying? I don't let a lot of folks in, but if I let you in, and Bill pulled me up from a nasty car lot, man, rats running around, and within the first 5 or 6 hours that I met Bill said, "Yo, Red, come with me," and we went over his sister Rosie's house. That was up the street from the car lot. They went in there and started arguing. Bill said, "Come on, you're going to live with us." You know what? You know what I'm saying?
He took you off the streets, wow.
Yeah, he took me off the streets out that car lot, you know what I'm saying? I had the equipment there. We used to live on top of Jay's car lot on Shepherd Street. And I would just stay in there 24 hours, man, and make music, you know what I'm saying, do my thing. And he would come over there, but at night, the freaks only don't come out, but the big rats come out, too.
Yeah. Yeah, things you know, that look like little dogs, right?
Oh, my goodness, man. Well, you know what? Everything is bigger in Texas, baby. Okay? And I'd be like, I thought I seen rats. I'd be like, oh, what the hell is that? You know what I'm saying? And they'd be like cats, man.
Cross between an armadillo and a freaking possum.
Yeah,
man.
pretty much, you know. So, I mean, you know what? And keep it real, there's also a lot of good times, too, now. You know what I mean? It's also a lot of good times, man. But with Bill, Bill took me in, man. His family took me in, his whole family. You know, when you're away from your family, sometimes you can get wild and crazy if you don't have a family structure. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He pretty much gave you that structure down there, huh?
He gave me that structure, man. You know, I met Miss Shaw, met Mr. Shaw. You know what I'm saying? And they adopted me as you're going to be Bill's brother. You know what I'm saying? Like I was telling you earlier, that means something. If I'm a brother, I'm responsible for Bill. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm responsible for him, man. And we ain't going to let nothing happen to each other. You know, that was our thing. We was roommates on the road. Actually, me and him, we was the only ones used to get all the action when we be on the road, man. Because we knew how to act. You know what I'm saying? I can tell you some stories about Bill. When Bill says, "Why you getting on your knees to do it?" A brother like me still standing up. I'm doing my thing one day, and I look over at him. I say, "You know what? You ain't lying. You can't do that standing up." And we both started laughing. on that, you know.
So the groupies were in full-fledged, full force.
Hey, man, you know what? They would come up to us and say, "Do y'all do all that stuff y'all say y'all do in that song, Gangsta Love?" And me and Bill would look at each other, talking about, "There's only one way to find out, baby." And we always were respectful, too. You know what I'm saying? We never misused our groupies. We only helped them get to where they needed to go. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what? We come from a family of good women, so how would we disrespect a woman? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You do that. You know, I got a bunch of sisters. Bill has a bunch of sisters, you know what I'm saying? And stuff, man. We always was tight, you know, like most rap crews, stuff get out of hand. But we always made sure they was okay, you know what I'm saying? Walk them to the elevator, put them in the cab, make them feel like they was okay for all the hours of work that they put in. That way they wouldn't be talking about other stuff after the fact, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, we was always gentlemen.
You guys are out there. You guys having a lot of fun, and What was Willie and Scarface like as far as, were they pretty cool to be with on the road at that time? Or?
Yeah, Willie D keeps you laughing 24 hours, man. Face was actually kind of quiet, man. Face is, he was borderline manic depressive. You know, when he writes about the mind of a lunatic waking up with a bloody nose, his wrist slits, and all that other stuff, man, he had rap music saved his life, bro.
For real? Wow.
He was manic depressive, man. Face is the real deal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He was a genius, man. I like look at him when I had him, you know what I mean? I say, you know what? First your brand, then your act, then your DJ action. I say, yo, man, why don't you change your name to Scarface? Why don't you be Scarface? You know what I mean? And he started entertaining it out there. Now you see who he is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you know what? A couple of other artists done took my balls and my word. And name they albums, Balls in My Word. You know what I mean? There ain't nobody up on All I Have in This World is Balls in My Word, so I did it. You know what I mean? Now, I ain't really one to toot my own horn, but you know, I had a brother from Oakland. He wrote his thesis on the impact of Scarface and gave me a chapter on it. You know what I mean?
I was
like, wow. You know what I'm saying? And finally, it feels good, man, that, you know, that the truth is coming out on its own merit. You know what I'm saying?
It's coming out from the fans, you know what I'm saying? The people.
It's coming out from the fans. And you know what's funny? Some of the people, I used to go to the old school, I still do, the oldschoolhiphop.com. And there'd be a lot of people in the forums on there. And some of these people are actually writers for major magazines. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I would sit down and we would talk, and then they would PM me and they tell me who they were, potentially wise, and all this. And I'd be like, wow. So they started giving me little props in their columns, like Rolling Stone, The Vibe, The Source, and all this other type of stuff, man. But they was kind of, so that's the real story. Okay, let's really look at it. I come in, I give them this sound, right?
Yeah.
I do 3 to 4 albums, and all of a sudden, I'm gone. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like, why? Yeah. You know, a lot of people are wondering what happened.
Exactly. I mean, it ain't like I just, oh, you know what? I'm going to wake up today and I ain't going to do this no more. No. Hey, man, I got tired. And during that time, my man, Michael Harris Harrio, he said, Red, I was looking for you, man, because when I was starting Death Row, I knew what you did for rap a lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but I couldn't find you, man. I could not find you, Red. You know what I'm saying?
Would you have gone over to Death Row if he had gotten hold of you?
Most definitely. Most definitely, man. I was down with Harry O, man. I'm still in down with Harry O, man. Always, man. That's one of the most fellowless brothers I've ever met in my life, man.
Yeah.
And when he say he's going to do it, he do it, man. You know what I'm saying? He's a good brother too. He's a real brother. You know what I'm saying?
Because you got to look at it like this. Here you are. You're making music. You're making music with Rick Rubin. You know what I'm saying? You're on the verge of getting platinum success. There has to be a serious reason for you to leave. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, nobody's just going to up and leave. Unless there was something that seriously was wrong, you know, I always wonder, you know, like if you look at the Scarface album, there's a dude there, you know, grabbing the cocaine.
Out, right?
Yeah, your face was completely blacked out; you couldn't even see who it was. And I always said to myself that, I mean, in seventh grade, I was looking at that, saying that's got to be DJ Ready Red. What the hell happened to this guy? I was asking myself that back then. You know what I'm saying? Like, what happened to this? Where did this guy go? You know what I mean? And that, I heard you on, you know, like you said, you the opening cut of We Can't Be Stopped, Rebel Rap Family. You know, did they distort your voice, or did you do that?
I did that. That's my Darth Vader voice, man.
Okay.
Actually, I wrote that to The Crawl in 1980. The harbors of Miami were open to Fidel's Castro Dre. You know when Scarface comes on and you see the Crawl, what's
yeah.
going on? One of my good friends named Lee Robinson, for like my 21st birthday when I was down Rap-A-Lot, he gave me the book, the novel, Scarface. Scarface takes place over 25 years, for those that don't know. Some people think it's an overnight rags-to-riches story, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And in the novel, Tony Montana, he really did get that scar from eating his coochie. He was messing around with the general's wife, you know what I'm saying? He says him and Manny was in the army, Manolo.
Yeah.
They was in the army together, but Tony got caught with the general's wife, so, you know, he got to, yeah. So we're coming over on the boat from Cuba. Her mother and her son fell off, and Tony Montana jumped in, and he couldn't save the mother, so the mother drowned, but he took care of his boy. And he put him through college, school, and everything, and before the social sent the hit squad up there, he had a meeting, and he gave him $25 million, you know what I'm saying? He said, that's for you, man, I want you to go ahead, because he knew what was going to happen, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he took care of my man. All these years, you know what I'm saying? He was about 10 when he fell off in the boat, man. But yeah, before we say those, a lot of people think, you know, was Tony a good guy? Was he a bad guy? You know what I'm saying? That's really up to you to judge what's good and what's bad, but I kind of took the Tony my time, you know what I mean? Actually, ironically, the first time I ever watched that movie was with my grandmother. You know what I'm saying? And we was tripping out on just how much. Because they didn't really nobody know anything about cocaine back then. I mean, when Superfly came out in 72, everybody was losing their mind over my man Snoopy, you know, and stuff, man. But that was always what Melly Mel called the rich man's twist stand, you know, the white lines and all that other good stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then when Scarface came out, and you're like, whoa, this was happening. And then you really start hearing about the cocaine wars, Pablo Escobar, you know, and all the cartels, you're like, yo, this is real. This is not no movie type stuff. You know what I mean? So that was, like, mind-boggling, man. Like, this out of Godfather when they finally started, you know, letting you in that there was the Costa Nostra, you know what I mean? And all that other good stuff that's not supposed to exist, you know? But that movie had an impact, man. I just was sitting there with my grandmother watching and being amazed by all, you know, all the things that was going on. I never knew that would be my signature. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Never knew that. Like I say, the whole thing came by accident. I rock the start and stop pedal when I'm using the drum machine and stuff. I like to tap, and then I like to just do that. So if I was DJing, I rock in the beatbox. I didn't have to push the beatbox. I could just use the start stop pedal and push it down, and bam, and it would start. So Bill just happened to sit on it and start to beat at the same time when Tony Montana said all I had was this one. So that was one of them accidents
rest
in the middle.
History.
Yeah. Thank you.
You know what I'm saying? Like I said, it's still heavily sampled to this day. But nobody, you know what I'm saying, nobody doesn't like the original, you know.
Well, you know what? There's a guy, he took the parts that I used and he edited so perfect that it fits. He took the actual scenes from the movie that I used and put it together, and he has that doing the same thing that I was doing on the sampler. And I played that manually, by the way, because I didn't know how to program. I did that on the Studio 440. Only person I seen with a Studio 440 was Eddie F. He was the DJ for Heavy D in the court, you know, Rip Heavy. And he did a show in Houston at the Rhinestone Regular. And I was like, yo, what kind of machine is this? It was made by Sequential Circuits. It had a lot of bugs, but the book was about an inch and a half thick, man. You had to be like Mr. Sherman. You know Mr. Sherman from Peabody and Mr. Sherman?
Yeah.
This was, okay, I might be telling on myself. This was an old school cartoon. And I got into the book, but I was like, man, I ain't going to figure out none of this right here. So I learned how to sample on it, and I just could push the buttons manually. The beat that I was doing. When I got to 1200, that's when I started getting into the programming and all that type of stuff. I could program like regular sampling and stuff. That was like a little tricky. And then a lot of the Making Trouble samples, I would run the turntable with the beat machine. So they, when I was laying down the tracks, I would just cut the actual break while the drum machine was playing with it on time. Stuff, man. I was pretty primitive too, you know, to a point. I wanted to stay raw, as they say.
And you get, well, you gave them the sound that at that time there wasn't a sound like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you couldn't compare you to Mr. Mix. You know what I mean? Mix was doing his own thing. You were doing your own thing. The cats in New York, they were doing their own thing. The cats on the West Coast were doing their own thing. But you had your own sound. Like, when I heard a record of it, man, that's DJ Ready Red.
I honed that in Trenton. That's the Trenton. Well, that, for me, you know what? I wish I was a fantastic beat maker. You know what I'm saying? Like, say, Premier. Say, like, my man Dre. You know what I mean? And stuff. Mm-hmm. I only got to make the beats because flashes on the beatbox going. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to do everything Grandmaster Flash did. I was, you know, I'm crazy about Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five. So when I heard the Furious Five talking about flashes on the beatbox, and then I got to hear Flash on the beatbox, I said, "Hey man, Flash is on the beatbox. I got to get me a beatbox." And I got one from a mix of Jasper Bradley, like I was telling you, that TR-606. So then it was Ready was on the beatbox, and then. I said, you know what? I want to start making records and stuff. So Raven Earl and Jasper Bradley would open up their studios to me, man, and they would help me lay down hip-hop tracks and stuff like that. So I learned that from R&B. People, I would just have to sit there while they did their thing, but I learned a lot about music from listening to them, you know what I mean, and learning from them, man. Sometimes it feels like your path has just been structured. This is what you're supposed to do. But my biggest influence is my mother. My mother was a piano player for our church. And I would sit there as a little boy. My mom was a very quiet, humble woman. But when she would start playing that piano, it was just like a whole new person would emerge. You know what I'm saying? She'd be leading the devotion. And I would sit there like, yo, that's my mom. You know what I mean? And she could play them keys, man. She could play that piano, bro.
Music is in the blood.
Yeah. And my grandfather, George Adams, he always would have talent night at the house where we picked a night where we had to perform and do some things. And, you know what I'm saying? That's how I got there. Also, that got me in a lot of trouble. One time my grandfather had to come to school because my teacher would say, Colin just loves to perform. You know what I'm saying? And I put on the performance with you. You know what I'm saying? I get up in front of a crowd, man, and just start singing, you know what I mean, just doing some stuff. Or beating on my desk all day, and it would drive them crazy, you know what I'm saying? It's driving to keep this crazy, just boom, bang, you know, and stuff like that. So I guess it's in the blood, man, it's in the genes, you know, that's my gift to God, you know.
It's 2013. And it's finally coming full circle. You were just recently featured on an episode of a show. Can you talk about that?
Oh, yeah, The Unsung, man. It was supposed to hit in June, July. My boy, P. Williams, told me that it's a great episode. Willie D. posted something on his page talking about some potent interviews from Prince Johnny C. and Ready Red. I can't wait to see it myself. You know what I'm saying? I love The Unsung series, but I go into detail like I did tonight. Or what really happened and what's really going on. You know what I mean? I would just love to get back to what I was doing, but I don't do what I'm known for doing because I've come back to the essence of hip-hop. Hip-hop was here to uplift. You know what I'm saying? It's not bring us down. It was pick us up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I've surpassed this during the Zulu Nation. You know what I'm saying? I'm just serious, man, where I would never put a beat to another killing, another whole beat down, or another rims by nine or whatever. I'm trying to help youth, man, to bring life to them, not bring death to them. You know what I mean?
Would you do something like what Professor Griff or Chuck D's doing? I mean, would you get into the political side of things?
Oh yeah, definitely. You know, at my age, man, I see solutions. You know what I'm saying? Put it this way. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Cowboys pushing 40, late 40s, 50 years old, right?
Yeah.
If you ain't got yours or what you need by now in the streets, then don't you think you're in the wrong game?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like this. When I was young, some 30 something years ago, at being 48, I had a young man's mind. I was out here in the streets. You know what I'm saying? Now that I'm out here in the streets and I see what's going on, I'm like, what can I do, man, to make the young people out here know that their life is valuable? You know what I'm saying? Ain't nothing glorious about dying unless you die in Christ. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be up on the wall and be like, yeah, man, my man was hard. Or rest in peace. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm trying to find me some people who ain't scared, like how the Ghetto Boys were, that could talk about these issues, man. See, ain't nobody talking about that nine they get up they butt when they go upstate. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Ain't nobody talking about. I got friends who are correction officers, and they tell me, Red, you know, homeboy who was the kingpin, said he crying like a little old girl up in there now. You know what I mean? Ain't nobody talking about the downside. They always want to glorify the glamorous, but ain't nothing glamorous. You know what I mean? Spent 2 years as an undercover what? You know what I'm saying? Being used and abused to serve like hell. One day you was found dead and dead. That's what a lot of them are doing. And you know what? From watching the videos and this and that and all that, man, we gotta change some things around, man. There ain't gonna be no youth, man.
No, there ain't.
Not gonna be there, you know. And I know I can't save the world, but I got trying to show you the error of my ways that I made. You know what I'm saying? I used to have a lot of regrets about the music that I did, but you know what? It's helped a lot of folks too realize that this ain't for them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And yeah, you say he's a Chuck D. Chuck D's my main man. My boy Casper out of Chicago, man, Cat Production. This is the cat that actually got me back in the game. You know what I'm saying? He called me out the blue, said, Red, what you doing October 31st, 2009? I said, I don't know. He says, I got a show for you, MC Lights, the Public Enemy. I said, for real? This is the first cat in all these years that reached out in a major way to DJ Ready Red and brought him back out, man. You know what? And I was honored, man. And I'm down with my man, Casper and Pam. This ain't no plug. This is just real stuff. They the first ones that after all this many years that they really reached out for a fucking parent. You know what I'm saying? And that got me back in the game. And Chuck D gave me an interview. He made me a hip-hop guy. I don't know if you ever see the interview with Chuck is asking questions about the origins of the Ghetto Boys. It's on his website, Hip Hop Guys. You know what I'm saying? And I hold Chuck D. I hold Public Enemy. I hold a lot of my hero. Chuck D is my hero, man. You know what I'm saying? And also a friend. You know what I'm saying, too? And to be honored like that, man, that was a milestone in my career. You know, for me, man, to come back in such a major way. And to have a fellow friend of mine, man, believe me that much just to give me a chance. And I've been running with that. You know, ever since that show, man, I've gotten endorsements from Stan. I'm a Stan artist. You know what I mean? I endorse a turntable for them. They've been gracious. You know what I'm saying to me? A lot of things just come back, man, in a way that I'm doing okay. You know what I'm saying? Just as a DJ. But I miss having MCs. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, the whole game is just everything can be done by a computer now.
Yeah.
You know.
When I was living in California, I got, you know, I only could do parties for like 2 hours the rest of it I had, you know. And then I really wasn't trying to stay with the technology. But a friend of mine named DJ Wiz said, yo, Red, man, this thing called Serato. I was purist. You know what I'm saying? I was like, what that's supposed to do for me? But then when he sent me the unit, man, I tried to hate on it, but I played on it for 8 hours, and I was like, wow, this is crazy. So my man Wiz got me back in the game. My man Matt Warner, he got me back in the game. You know, it just seemed like in my 12 years of being clean and sober and getting myself together, so many good people have come into my life, you know what I'm saying, that has helped me. DJ Cubit, when I was living in California, man, he threw a party for me, man. I met DJ Flair. I met people who had scratches named after them, you know what I'm saying? Mixmaster Mike, DJ Cubit. I'm sitting up in the octagon, and I'm, like, tripping out on these cats, and they telling me how much of a fan that they are. But now, they fans of mine also from back in the day. And before I left, Cubit said, Red, here's the turntable for you, man. Do your thing. You know what I'm saying? That meant so much to me, man. You know what I'm saying? I was like, wow. So, you know, it just seemed like the people have been putting in my path, man, to help me make my comeback. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not going to tell them or myself, you know?
Yeah.
Good people like yourself, man. You know what I mean?
Appreciate that, Red. Appreciate that. It means a lot, man.
Yeah, well, you know, to me, it really means a lot, man, because it's a platform to express yourself, you know what I'm saying, and you show love, and we show love back. There's a lot of people that I see on here that their mind is in the clouds somewhere, you know what I mean? They don't reach out, but they don't talk to the people that come to their page. I'm honest, man, that anybody even thinks that much of me, you know what I'm saying? Too bad, man. Because what Chop Rock said, you know, be nice, make a new friend. You know what I'm saying? I make new friends every day, man. And I'm all over the world, you know. And I'm very accessible. I'm transparent. You know what I'm saying? I'm a fan of hip hop. Again, you know what I'm saying? Always have, always will be. So, you know, I'm just glad to still be here. I ain't dead. And I definitely ain't in jail. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's you know what I'm saying, it's good to see all these people through, you know, Facebook or whatnot, social media sites, be able to connect with you. You know what I'm saying? It's got to make you feel good knowing that you haven't been forgotten, even though people have pushed you under the rug, so to speak. There's people that have been lifting that rug up. Say, hey, man, there's Red right there. That's the dude.
I never knew that, man.
Yeah.
It was amazing to me. I mean, it's like I hold my pioneers, Van Bottom, Cold Crush Brothers, Grandmaster Flash, Cool Herc, Curtis Blow, Phyllis Ford. You know, there's so many people to name, people that I put on high levels. You know, I never thought that anybody would think that about me. You know what I mean? And when I get letters from them, man, or they send me PMs, and I'm like, wow. You know? And I've been like, let me answer this brother back. Let me answer this sister back and tell her how much it means to me. When I say thank you for your kind words, I'm not just right next to thank you. You know what I mean? Thank you. Because that makes me feel so wonderful that I can help you or touch you in a way that other people have touched me. You know what I'm saying? And that means a lot to me, man. You know what I'm saying? When I feel that, you know? And I love the interaction, man. And I don't even call them fans. I call them friends, you know? I call them friends, man. And that's what they are, you know what I'm saying? They come by, they ask me how I'm doing, what's happening, what's going on. We have interactions. Anybody who knows me come to my page, you know, I'm bound to always talk about Flash, Furious Five, Bruce Lee, whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're a big Bruce Lee fan. I know that. I know that, man.
I was getting myself together, man. I went to a website called Bruce Lee, The Divine Wind. I just lost my older sister, Dal Fane, and I became friends with a brother from the UK named...
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, my older sister, she looked out for me during my times. Turbulence in my life, man. She stuck by my side, you know. And so I had to go back in my recovery. I went back to what made me happy. And it was my childhood experiences that I had. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes when you are in recovery, I didn't go into a 12-step program. I went the one step to the Lord. You know what I mean? And I said, you know what? I said, I was crazy about Bruce Lee. I knew everything they was. I used to put on Bruce Lee shows, too, man, with little chunks and kits and all that and all that other shit. I told you, I was always the entertainer. I was always entertaining something. And I started going to this website where we started breaking Bruce Lee down as a human being, not as a superstar or superstar marshal. This is a brother who was a father, a husband, a friend, and had issues like all of us. So it made me see that we have frailties. We're going to fail. We're going to get up. We're going to succeed. You know what I mean? And stuff. And that was one part of that. He's had such an impact on my life. It's ridiculous. So when I moved out to California, I started researching where he had been, where he lived on his time in Oakland. And I met some of his students firsthand. Like he was in Oakland, school on 14th and Broadway. You know what I mean? I would retrace the stuff right there, man. So I kind of became a historian, you know, all that type of stuff. And he just lost Jim Kelly. You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that, man. These were some of my heroes when I was growing up. Still are, you know what I'm saying? So, I just had a lot of different hobbies and stuff that I'm into, what I look to. But I love on Facebook. I love the interaction of with the people, man. I have found so many relatives on Facebook. I've also found that I've lost a lot of my relatives also, you know what I'm saying, through Facebook too, man. So Facebook is pretty good. It's pretty good. Yeah.
It's definitely, you know what I'm saying, met a lot of people, you know what I'm saying, on Facebook. I got one right now. I'm going to take a call. This is my brother, Mac J.
Okay.
Yeah, here is Mac J.
What's
St.
up,
Louis?
What's going on with Red? Yep, both of y'all are my friends through Facebook. I fuck with y'all to the end of time, man.
All right, Mac J, what's happening, man? Good to hear that, brother.
What's going on?
Not too much, man.
I just want to... First, almost, I just want to congratulate you and salute you on your sobriety, man. 12 years, man. That's a long time. I got a couple friends right now that's battling addiction, man. And so, you know, I know how them struggles can be. So I always want to salute you on that, man.
I appreciate that. You know what? It ain't been a picnic. Through that time, I've lost my mother, my sister, my grandmother, my grandfather. All my aunts, uncles, you know what I'm saying, all gone. I just learned to rely on the Lord for strength. It's not me. He has become my rock. I knew this as a child, but I abandoned it, and I come back to it. You know what I mean? And if it weren't for him, I wouldn't be here, man, because I know me. You know what I'm saying? So if you want to tell your friends to reach out to me, man, I'll talk to them. Or you can PM me if you want. We can talk or we'll do whatever, man. I'm always down to let them know that no matter how bad it is, you can always get through it if you really make up in your mind to want to do good. You know what I'm saying? Let's do this, man.
That's what I'll be telling them too, man. Like it can be beat, man. You know, there's people out here winning that fight. My mom, she went on, she battled addiction for a long time, but she good now. It's just an afterthought for her now, you know what I mean? But how was it like going through sobriety, being in the ghetto boys and trying, you know, after everything had slowed down for you and trying to get back out there? Was it real hard for you?
No, well, you know, actually, I was an athlete, man, all through, like, high school, so... I kind of was a late bloomer to the drugs and stuff like that. But after and leaving the ghetto boys and all that, that's when the temptation came. You know what I'm saying? I felt so hurt at that time, man, that I turned into something crazy. And it brought me some joy, but it also brought me a lot of pain also. You know what I'm saying? Because it only mattered fairly. And I was sitting in Liberty one day. One of the videos came on, And he, like, you know how there's always a loud mouth no matter where you go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to get picked for work. And my mind playing tricks came on today. See that brother down there? He's sleep one of them, but he smoked out now. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I went to work with that on my mind. And I said, you know what? I'm better than that. So,
yeah.
One day I decided to thank my grandfather. My grandfather passed 3 days before my birthday on March 25th.
Oh, yeah, that shit.
Yeah, well, that was the day I decided to get myself together. So, a year later, my grandfather passed on a Sunday. So, Monday, I was on a, that Monday coming up on the next year, I set foot in Oakland, California for a brand new start.
Yeah.
And I tried to do more every year. And March 25th is the day I pay homage to my grandfather. And it's also the thing that I want to
give being
clean. So,
it's another question I want to ask you, too. I don't know, Prez, I kind of called in a little late, but I don't know if you asked him this, but, you know, like the Ghetto Boys, they touring now. How come they ain't got you on the tour with them? Is it they just don't deal with you, or are you pretty much busy with the stuff you're doing?
They talk to me all the time. It's just the fact that they have DJ domination. I asked Willie D, I said, well, Will, you know, people wanted us to get back together, the original group. And he was like, what will we tell our DJ? I said, I ain't trying to take over, but it would be good to have a set with y'all. You know what I'm saying? Or do it.
Yeah.
I see
at
that
least,
no,
yeah, a few yeah. shows, yeah.
Even if it was a double set, man, like people, for real, Red, like you got history with them folks, man. Like you was always the yellow guy and the Ghetto Boys, man.
I stopped trying to understand. The only thing I can say is greed, maybe. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I really don't know, man. You know what? And be honest, I really don't care no more.
Yeah,
I stopped really trying to figure that out, man. You know? At one time, I used to be like, wow, no forgiveness. You know, like, but what did I ever do to y'all except try to tell y'all to stop getting effed by this record company? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
I mean, if you really look at it.
No, I'm sorry, Red. Go ahead.
What do they have? You know what I'm saying?
All them years,
tell me what you got. Tell me what you have.
Yeah, that's true. You were trying, you were just trying to say, hey, man, we don't need to be getting screwed around like this. And all these years later, have you spoken to Little J since you left the group?
Little J reached out to me during the time that my mom passed and gave a little donation. And that was about it. You know what I'm saying? He said, man, you played a really big part in this, man. You know what I'm saying? But I was working, so I really ain't want anything too much. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
I think she got some flowers from that little donation. No, he ain't reached out to me. We have talked every now and then, but not really. You know, you want to talk, say, you know what, Red? I want to make it right. Bam, I got something for you. You feel me?
Yeah.
Because that shit would be dope as hell, man. Like, if you go to a Ghetto Boy show now and then they just bring out Red with them, man, that shit would just set the whole shit. I already know it, man. It just,
well, you know what's funny?
That would be amazing, man.
Philly. They just played New York. They ain't even called me. I was in Trenton. I'm 40 minutes from Philly. I'm 45 minutes to New York. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right, you're supposed to be doing all them shits, man.
You know what I'm saying? I would have came, you know, but I'm not just going to go. You feel me? I don't want to see them perform. I want to perform, you know what I mean?
Right.
Oh, yeah. And like I say, there's no love, it's not bitter, but I stopped trying to figure that out. Apparently, there's something greater for me down the line, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm about to say, yeah, because you can do your own shit now, you know what I mean? So, we're going to rock with you. I know I'm going to rock with you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. This by far is not the last time we want to have you on the show. You know, we definitely want to have you on again. Maybe another round table. You know, if we can get some guys I wouldn't mind getting, like you talking about the Zulu Nation and, you know, African Bambaataa. I wouldn't mind getting a round table like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, definitely, man. I mean, the Zulu Nation is doing a great work out here. DJ Yoda, Bambaataa. There's so many powerful people, man, that want to preserve the hip-hop, you know what I'm saying, to bring it back to the greatness that it was, you know what I mean? And I'm down with anything pop, you know what I'm saying? Anything that's going to help the youth, anything that's going to help these kids stop going out here and killing themselves, man, I'm down to do, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
That's a real talk right there.
They definitely doing that in record numbers, man. And, you know, our music, the music we grew up on was harsh and gritty, but for the ones that wasn't living it, man, it painted the right pictures. I don't think the artists of today painting the right pictures for the kids, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, and not to take it, and everybody want to say we haters because we say that because they get money, but money ain't everything, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, I was miserable because I know in my conscience, mind, what I was doing, man, was killing people. I mean, now, as an artist, you have to be responsible for your content. You know what I mean? You know, good example. When I was about 6 years old, me watching Western, they would hit somebody in the back of the head with the gun.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching robbers, and I did that to one of my best friends and put a big knot on his head. You know what I mean?
Damn.
And mom came down and knocked on my mom's door. What is your son learning? What is he watching? You know what I'm saying? So my mother and my grandma and my grandpa had to sit me down and explain that you can't be doing all this type of stuff. You see on TV.
He done bopped the motherfucker right quick.
So, you know, but what it is that there's no parenting going on. You know what I mean? There's nobody to tell these children, yo, there are restrictions, there are consequences for this thing. You know what I'm saying? And when the crack era came in, that kind of demolished whole family.
Yeah.
You know? And you had to go live with grandma, you had to go live with aunt, you had to go do this, you got tossed here, you got tossed there, you got abused, sexually abused, physically abused, you know what I'm saying? In a way.
Just being out in the streets unsupervised,
yeah,
man, just, you know.
You know how they act, man, you know what I'm saying? But you can't be scared to go out there and talk to them. I go out there and I talk to him. You know, even if it's just for a few minutes, he'd be like, I don't know, G, I hear you. You know what I'm saying? It takes to raise a child, but also got to let them know, yo, man, somebody care about you, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
My rapport with them is what I used to do as a ghetto boy. They'll listen.
Yeah.
They'll be like, well, all right, man, that's cool, man. But, you know, but now there's really no choices for them to get out of that culture. You know what I'm saying? They in so deep. It really is like blood in and blood out now. You know what I'm saying? The game,
yeah,
and the other stuff. It's really, I really feel bad for them, you know?
Man, I feel like, you know what I'm saying? I'm from that I was born in the late 70s and grew up throughout the 80s, the crack baby epidemics and all that. And I feel like my generation of parents, we failing our children right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, we want to blame the kids, but it's us as parents, like the ones that was born in 78, 79, 80, 81, 80, we failing our kids. I ain't talking about nobody in particular, but as a whole, man, it's up to, like, you're right, it's up for us to grab them and show them what's right, but it's still people from our era that taught us good things and music that we listen to still making music today. And I don't understand why they don't highlight it more.
Well,
they do it in every genre of music except for hip-hop.
Yeah, well, I think it's the power that be because they don't want us to tell you, or they don't want to hear no positive stuff. The almighty dollar would put a stop to that. You know what? Stop supporting the whackness. Stop supporting these videos and these artists that are killing the youth, man. Stop buying that stuff. And start buying some good stuff. You know what? It's crazy. We used to be underground when we started out. Now, underground is the top seller, and hip hop is underground now. You know? And
yeah, the real art essence of hip hop and substance is underground. You're right. All gold, everything is you know, you see these kids running around, they got their pants down to their knees. I mean, it's just backwards. Everything's just backwards right now. Completely messed up.
Okay, you know what? I went out the house yesterday. I've been losing weight, you know what I'm saying? I'm working out and getting myself together, right? So, like, you know, when you put on your jeans, they tight, you know, around the waist. By the time I got them out,
yeah.
I was like, man, they falling down. I'm like, how do these kids wear this stuff hanging off? You see, back in my day, you had to be ready to run. You had to be ready to do whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
and pants hanging off your ass, really, you're not prepared out here. You know what I'm saying? Like,
no.
You wore the shoe,
right.
But they never fell off. You know what I'm saying? They never fell off, you know?
Right. Or kind of be ready to take off on. You never know what kind of scrap or squabble you got to get into, run from the police, all kinds of shit. We couldn't even walk in the house without pants sagging.
She had to be street gear ready. And pretty much, you know, all that sagging and all that other stuff, man, that right there showed that you was available when you was up in jail. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm, you know what, and I done seen some disgusting stuff in my life. I done seen doo-doo stains and all this stuff and this nasty. I don't want to see nobody's crack behind, man.
Yeah.
You know what, I'm being honest, man. I don't want to see that. Like, just like in New Jersey now.
Yeah.
At some of the beaches, man, they got fines that if you wear your pants 3 inches below your butt, they can fine you. They can give you a ticket. You know what I mean? Because
that's indecent, man.
Nobody want to see that.
Yeah, that's all indecent shit. Yeah. You know, you save that for where you at. You know, you at your crib and your dwelling, and that's what y'all do. Y'all do it. But when you out here, because these kids and everybody, they don't got a chance to tell you to pull your shit up. And nowadays, sometimes people want to tell these young cats to pull their pants up, but they be scared they're going to get fucked with. These little young mugs got guns now, for real.
Yeah.
You know?
A good friend
so
of mine.
So you want to take the, you want to take it back and go back out here telling them, but at the same time, they might up the thing, and they kill over nothing now.
Well, you know what? There's a way with the approach, man. I mean, you just can't come off on people. You know what I'm saying? Like me, if I was approaching, I'd be like, excuse me, can I holler at y'all for, you know, for a few minutes? You got to show them respect because you get respect back.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? When I was coming up, the OGs on the corner, he was like, come here, young man. Let me holler at you. What's up? Where your head at? What's going on with you? You know what I'm saying? And
right.
They would check. They said, you know, Red, man, you got your whole life. You know what was funny? A lot of my friends was hustlers on the corner. But they never wanted me to get down with it because I could do this music. You know what I'm saying? But they would find things to give. Yo, Red, man, this turntable came through last night. You know what I'm saying? Said you could use it. I'd be like, yeah. You know, and we became a crew. Everybody
right.
had this, everybody had that. You know what I'm saying? But they saw that I had a talent, so they kept me away from the nitty-gritty and all the other craziest stuff, man. And that's what real gangsters did back in the day. They kept you away from that. Until there was no choice in your life that you made that decision to come over. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. It was bad for their business. If you was out here and you was being sometime and they was keeping it real, you know what I'm saying? There was a code actually out here, man. There was an honor among thieves at one time. You know what I mean? Where they were allowed to go down. You know what I'm saying? Especially, man, the crime against the women and kids. Out here in the community.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That wouldn't have been allowed, but we're dealing in treacherous times. These are really evil days now. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it's not all the youth, because I've met some really brilliant young minds out here, man. It's just that they are caught in between the good and the bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah,
right. So they like the chosen few almost. You know what I'm saying? Like, cause I look at my kids like, cause my kids, man, they good, man. You know, but they had their issues too. The main thing I be trying to teach them is just be responsible for the things that you do, and if you could take responsibility for what you do, it's gonna help you when you making decisions. You know what I'm saying? Your decision making gonna be a little easier than just the average kid, because you're going to think about the consequences and the repercussions of certain stuff.
Let's go back to when we was growing up in our parents' household, and let's go back when we go to school and this and that. It ain't the same no more. You know what I mean? I didn't have to worry about school getting shot up or somebody going to come in there with guns and kill 13, 14 people. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Or the bully who was messing with me because I had red hair until I talked back one day. You know what I'm saying? Now you got young kids killing themselves because they're getting bullied, because they're getting their lunch money. I got my lunch money took. My pa said, you know what? Let's go see this movie called Into the Dragon. And when I saw that, I started fighting back. You know what I'm saying? But it was the time that you could throw hands. You know what I mean? Mediate with somebody, make a friend with these kids out here that will kill you. Nowadays, man, 10, 11-year-olds packing guns, man. That's scary because they got kids' minds. You know what I mean? Even these 20-year-olds thinking that.
And these games, these video games and shit they play, got them fully trained, man. They're popping down like they've been army trained, you know?
Yeah, like I was saying, a friend of mine, he's a correction officer. He tell me all the time, he say, "Red, they don't get a concept of what happened until they come up in here. They think it's a game, and then they realize that it was real." You know what I'm saying? It just get real to them.
Right.
When they getting them basketball score time, man, you know what I'm saying? There's no
right.
There's no, you know, it's just wild and crazy, man. So we have to really try, man. Just like when I was coming up, you know, there was groups of people that hung out together, you know what I'm saying? But we always rationalized what we was going to do, what was going to happen, you know what I'm saying? Now, we ran away from evil. They run towards the evilness. And
right.
There's really nobody to say, "Yo, man, this ain't right." You know what I'm saying? We don't need to be doing this. You know what I'm saying? Because they don't care. You know what I'm saying? But you have to show them that they're also predicted about them. That's all, because nobody grows up or is born evil. They get to be evil. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's why, you know what I'm saying, you got to reach out, man. It's like, I tell women all the time, you know what I'm saying? If you don't have any daughters, reach out to these young girls out here. Show them how to be young women. You know what I'm saying? Show them that they're not acceptable to be mistreated or, you know, to get beat down and domestic and stuff like that. Nobody wants to do anything, but they all want the solution of what's going on. Nobody wants to get involved with it until it happens to them, until crime comes knocking at their door or their house. In the city of Trenton, New Jersey, man, getting killed in broad daylight. If you know anything, you know the streets always know what happened, who did it, and what's going on. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But it just becomes a blind eye. Nobody wants to say anything. Nobody wants. You know what? If I got killers on my corner and they killing the youth, you don't think I'm gonna make a phone call? You know what I'm saying? I'm just going to keep it real. I'm going to keep it real with you because I want my kids to have a decent upbringing. I don't want them to get killed by the straight bullet. There's people everywhere all night, got to duck down, be down, put the kids in the closet because there's shit going on, man. One of my friends.
Yeah, and it's happening all over the country, too, in record numbers,
it's,
man. Like,
because there's so many people, could you please not do that in front of my house? And they killed my man.
Damn.
A simple request, hey fellas, you just please like move down from my house. You know what I'm saying? Said it nicely too. You know what I'm saying? And now this man has to bury his son this Saturday, man.
Yeah, it was a funeral here in St. Louis just this past Saturday with family. I know that the dudes was arguing over spilled beer. Like somebody spilled a beer, and the argument turned it super heated and. A dude lost his life over a spilt beer. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you know how crazy that stuff gets, you know?
I want to be hard. You know what I'm saying? Everybody won't be hard.
10 people just got killed in Chicago this weekend, I believe.
Yeah.
You know, 44 injured and 10 were murdered. You know?
Yeah.
That's just one weekend.
And that's just one weekend. Yeah.
You know, it's horrible.
So, they dying in record numbers and... to senseless stuff, you know what I'm saying? It'd be different if a tornado coming through or this and that, this and that, this and that. But, man, they taking it upon themselves to take lives, man. Some of the majority of them is kids.
Right. So when do we make the decision? Be like, hey, you know what? I need to get involved in this. I need to get involved in this right here. I need to do something. You know what I'm saying? You know what that is? Spending time, going out in your community, man, showing that there is a difference, something to happen. When I talk to them, man, they hungry for knowledge. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They hungry. They be like, yo, man, you show me how to DJ, though? I'd be like, yeah. Come
yeah,
on over.
That shit cool as fuck.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yo, man, I can rap. I say, really? They say, yo, man, you started Scarface out. I'd be like, yeah. For real? I'd be like, yeah. You talking? I said, I ain't teach them how to rap. I showed them some things, you know what I'm saying? I said, but you probably should be back there, my man. For real? I'd be like, yeah.
You probably showed them how to stay on beat with the track you was mixing or something, you know what I'm saying? But
no, you because
I was just about to ask you that. What's it like being Ready Red Now? Do you get a lot of recognition? Like, do people come up to you and recognize who you is, or is it pretty much when you do a show they ain't expecting, and they like, oh, that is Red, or is it just
you know what's funny? When they don't believe you, or they say that they know Red and this and that. I'll go places sometimes, you know what I mean? Me, it's just me. I'm always pretty much by myself. I'm with my cousin Joe, cousin Chuck, Brian, whatever. You know what I'm saying? I like going to flea markets, you know what I mean? And I go to flea markets, and people be like staring at me. And I'd be like, I wonder why they looking at me. But then because they probably know who you are, you know what I mean?
Yeah. They be like, okay, they do we know who you is sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and I'm always, no matter how busy I'm in, whatever, you want a picture, cool. You want an autograph, cool. You know what I'm saying? I'm just thankful that you acknowledge me like that, and thank you. You know what I'm saying? And bam.
But
it's all good. Want to hang out? Cool. Got no problem with that. You know, when I was coming up, man, the biggest thing I used to like to do, I worked at a roller rink. And my man, he was a promoter from the South Bronx thing, Art Armstrong. He would bring down the original pioneers, you know what I mean? Cold Custer, Tetris Street. I'm like a kid in a candy store, you know what I'm saying? I used to be around them all day. I didn't set up the equipment that they're going to use. I just would be in there asking questions and stupid questions and this and that. And, yo, miss, how do you mark your records, Red Alert? And, yo, Charlie Chase, man, so how you doing this? And they always took time with me. You know what I'm saying? They never, like, blew me off or be like, all right, man, shut up, man. Go about you. They was always gracious. And these pioneers, my heroes, always gave me something more than what I had after talking to them. You know what I'm saying? So I have to get that back. Because
how did some of your legends and your heroes perceive you, though? Like, once you start making a little success with the Ghetto Boys, and, like, you would come home and get up with some, was cats well receiving of you, or did you experience, like, a whole lot of hate?
Being from a seven-mile town, Trenton, New Jersey, Poor Righteous Teachers is from my town.
Mm-hmm.
Suicide Posse, my man DJ L. There's just a lot of talent, you know, that was in Trenton. They were very happy, but, oh, man, that's that Texas stuff, man. Why are you saying you from Texas? You know what I'm saying? I said, well, Texas is changing. You know what I'm saying? But you know I'm from Trenton, you know, and stuff, man. And you know what? If I would have stayed one more year in New Jersey in 87, that's when it really started kicking off, man, with Naughty, Red Man.
Yeah.
Latifah and all them, and my man Tony D, rest his soul, he was doing a lot of things, you know what I'm saying? But I guess I was supposed to go somewhere else to start a genre, you know what I'm saying? But I got love.
And I thank you for it, brother. You know what I'm saying? For real. That's the shit. The Ghetto Boys molded my life.
Hey, man, I appreciate that, man. I really do. And as I always say, thank you for the kind words, my man, you know?
It's amazing to be able to talk to you. I'm still in awe because right now I'm still that kid in sixth grade listening to the filthiest, nastiest album I could get my hands on, which was the self-titled Ghetto Boys album. But
they'd be like, "Yeah, my mom brought this for me." I'd be like, "What?"
No, I actually got it. I got it from the kid down the street, his older brother. He gave me a copy of it. He's like, here, because I think I was listening to Eazy-E, Two Live Crew at the time. He's like, oh, man, wait till you hear this shit. You know, and his first thing I heard was Gangster Love. That was the first song I heard. I heard that song, I was chasing around the girls around the neighborhood.
That song right there had us more access to lady fans, where it was ridiculous, man. I'd be like, when I first heard that, I said, man, we ain't going to get no play off this joint. And you know what? I was surprised. Put it this way, man. You that scene from Into the Dragon with Jim Kelly? Said, yo, I'll take you, and you. Well, we just lived our fantasies out with that, man, with that.
Yeah. See, my first time when I got that Ghetto Boys album, we waited till my cousin. He was already in high school when it came out, and we was in elementary. We just waited till he went to sleep, had the little playback tape deck, put the little toilet paper on the other side, and we dubbed it before that nigga even woke up the next morning and even know that we had
I used
tape.
Listening to my uncles and my cousins, Richard Pryor records, Red Fox, and Dolomite and all that other stuff. And only thing my cousin was telling me, boy, don't let your grandma know about this. My grandmother had a bunch of sisters. We all was family in the church and all that. But we also had another section that won't in the church and all that. So we learned both sides of the coin. You know what I mean? So my older cousins taught me a lot of things, man, that I needed to know. My mom, I mean, you know what? My mom took me to go see the Mac when I was a kid.
Yes.
She said, you need to know things out here other than just being a church boy. You know what I'm saying? She was a woman of the world. She played church, but she also knew that there was other things out here in the world that you need to be exposed to so you don't be all shocked. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
And she would break things down to me. She said, you know, people live like this. People do these types of things. That way, I don't have, like judging or nothing like that, you know, because everybody is not going to be what you about, you know what I'm saying? So you might as well get used to that. You try to find a common ground, see what's going on, see what's happening, you know. Plus, I knew if I be quiet and shut up, I was going to get me a Bruce Lee poster out the deal or something when I was a kid or a toy, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yes.
This
is
out and about.
Yeah, this being down the pouch, you know what I'm saying? What they say in the gangster movie, hey, shut up, keep your mouth closed. You know what I'm saying?
You feel me? That's really
well,
cool.
Hey, Reb,
that's
man,
came up on.
I appreciate you coming on the show, man. You've been on a hell of a long time with us. But before we go, do you have any projects you're working on, anything we can look forward to?
I got something coming out with my man, one of the original Ghetto Boys with me, Prince Danny T. We are not going to disclose the name yet, but you're going to like the name that we call ourselves. I'm working with my niece's and our fiance's company, Black Mask Entertainment. We got a nice cat on here named Sice. I've also started a production company with my man DJ L. I've been my DJ partner now for about 30-something years. For Native Productions, we got some stuff coming with that. I'm down with my boys in Chicago, his lovely wife, Casper and Pam, known as Cat Productions. I've been doing some stuff with them. And I'm also in the oil business, man. Fifthly made oils, you know what I'm saying? For you can smell good all the time, you know what I'm saying? So I got my hand in a couple of other things, man, that I'm doing. And it's coming along pretty good, you know?
Man, I can't wait to hear that Prince Johnny C project because, I mean, you guys are the foundation of the Ghetto Boys. You know what I mean? Is it going to be similar to the Ghetto Boys stuff, or is it something totally different?
We're going back to when we was known as the Mighty MCs type of stuff, before any other craziness. But what I also want to say, Johnny C was my producing partner with the Ghetto Boys.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Johnny C did the Gangsta Love along with myself. We did Willie D's album. We did Choice album. We did the Make You Trouble and all that other stuff. Johnny C is a hell of a good producer, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we got to have him on the show, too. We got to.
Johnny C is the family man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
to get Johnny C on the phone call, you really got to go. It's like trying to get in the White House, bro. You got to make an appointment with this man. You know what I'm saying? But we've been working on some things, and hopefully we'll be finished with it. You know what I'm saying? Our work schedules are doing other things, man. But for the 5 or 6 tracks we have, man, we feel that they pretty solid. You know what I'm saying? But and you know what? See, I'm the type where I want to test it out and see what's going on with it. You know what I'm saying? Johnny C is a perfectionist. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, when y'all get ready to drop it, bring it back to us. We'll play it right here.
You know what?
I
was going to tell you that as much as you reached out to me, I owe you that, man, to make it exclusive for you, brother.
Man, wow. I can't thank you enough.
Oh, yeah, definitely, man. Like I said, love showing, man, you know, and my respect for you guys, man, is really cute. I really love what you guys are doing. You know what I'm saying? I tune in just to listen to the other acts you have on there, man. You know, this is really top notch to what you do, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm glad that you're going with it.
Thank you, my brother, for coming on again and you know, like I said, we're definitely going to have you on again in the future and you know, keep us posted. You know, I'll talk with you. You know what I'm saying? We'll chop it up.
You know. Oh, that'll work, man. And to my man right there, man, tell your friends to stay.
Yeah, I'm going to be on it, man. And check us out, man, because we rock with you, Red. So whatever you do, man, we pushing right behind you, man.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know what they're saying here is, I say, man, feel free to post, let me know what's going on, any way I can help, let me know. You got material? I spend all the time at places, man. I'm always looking for new things to break in and do, you know what I mean? So,
we got you in the loop. Thanks a lot, Red. I'm going to close the show the way I opened it with this tribute mix I did. Now, keep in mind, folks, I'm not a DJ, you know what I'm saying? So, but this is definitely if you ain't heard DJ Ready Red before, this is a nice small little mix. Thanks a lot, Red. I appreciate you, brother.
All right, man. One love and peace, bro. Thank y'all.
Peace.
Yeah. Good night.
The ground with DJ Ready Red. DJ Ready Red. DJ Ready Red. DJ Ready Red. DJ Ready Red.